Welcome back to the Sight to the Blind. Finally, I have women on this show. Finally, a lot of men listen to the show, but it's good to hear a different perspective. So please introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Callie Ann. I'm from Windsor, Ontario, Canada. So quite a few miles away from you guys. But I don't know. How do you want me to introduce myself?
Well, just how did you get into this walk? When was your awakening? And how's that been for you going through this walk? And especially far away from where I feel like the main awakening is happening in America, this is better for us to understand that the awakening is happening all over the world. So mm-hmm. How did it appear to you as far as being awoken?
So it's kind of a long story, I guess. Mm-hmm. I think that for me, I believe the Most High. Obviously, he tells you, you know, he knew us before we were even born. Mm-hmm. So I think that it started when I was young. So I think I went through a lot of trauma when I was young. So it was a lot of chaos. And for me, I believe he put some of us in that chaos to kind of put something in our spirit. Mm-hmm. So when you go through trauma when you're young, I believe it kind of makes you grow up a little bit faster than most people. So me and my sister were born in a refugee camp in Thailand because my mom and my dad fled a war in Cambodia, which a lot of people know as like the Khmer Rouge War. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, for me, it's kind of a little bit the same as the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. So it was basically Cambodians killing Cambodians. Mm-hmm. His name is Pol Pot, the one that orchestrated everything. Yeah. He actually, I believe, I read a few articles about him, and he did go to France. We were colonized by the French, mm-hmm. and he went to France to learn, to get his education. So he came back to Cambodia and he pretty much tried to implement communism in our country. Mm. But I think our country was, I think most countries, they have a level of depravity, I guess,
right,
before like the fall. So I think the country was kind of going that way. And then he came in, did his thing, killed millions of people. My mom and dad fled the country. They fled to Thailand. Me and my sister were born there. And we lived there for 5 years. We actually got sponsored by a Christian family, mm-hmm. a Christian couple, actually. And we moved to Canada in 1989. Mm-hmm. And while we were there, we started going to church. And that's when I was introduced to the Bible. And obviously, my parents didn't know much about the country, so they didn't want us, you know, out of the house very often. So we were in the house a lot. And that's when I started to read a lot. And I think that's when I started, he kind of introduced, even though I believe the Bible is a little bit kind of altered a little bit, you know what I mean?
Right.
By the
right.
enemy. It still gives you his, you know, his spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's when I think it really started, when I started reading it.
What was your family's religious or faith based upon before
you read the Bible? My parents, mostly my mom. My dad, I don't think he practices anything. Mm-hmm. My mom's more Buddhist.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was that growing up, being in a Buddhist household?
She didn't push anything on us. So we kind of just, you know, tagged along when she went to the temples, mm-hmm. too. But it never resonated with me.
Right.
So I'd never really participated in anything. I was just there to kind of, because we were young, we had to be there.
Right.
But yeah. But I think the awakening happened when I was reading the stories. Mm-hmm. For example, when I read the story of Jonah, it gave me a fear of the water a lot, mm-hmm. with the big giant fish. Mm-hmm. So he instilled certain fears in me as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So growing up, I read a lot, and I was, I remember your a couple episodes ago, you said you were really like morbid when you were young. I believe I was the same way. I was really attracted to like horror books. So I read a lot of horror. I was really drawn to like dark themes, I guess. But I never got into like the full occult. But when we were young, we actually did play a couple games of like seances and stuff. We did actually do that.
And you feel like through that, that it had anything to do with your trauma as far as being attracted to that dark energy?
I think so. I think so.
How did you battle through that?
I was a very, very quiet child. A lot of people thought I was a mute. I didn't talk a lot. Even when my parents would ask me things, I would say, I don't know. And I think I just kind of, drew within. So that's how I dealt with it, just being silent,
I
pretty
think a lot
much.
of people, young kids, I especially me, I feel like, yeah, a lot of quiet kids have so much going on inside of them. It's like when they
It's all
ask
in
us,
our heads.
right? It's like when they ask us what's wrong, it's like what part do you want me to
Nothing.
start at? Like it's so much
Yeah,
from here to
exactly.
there, right?
And not only that, I feel like we can't really express exactly what we feel because we don't know what we're feeling yet when we're that young, right? So everything was like internal.
And
So
how
that's
did
basically how I dealt with it. I just would go in my room, I would start reading or doing something. If I was angry or mad, I would just go right in my room, lock it, and then just kind of ignore everybody.
And how did that change when you found the Most High, Yahuwah? How did that change for you as far as so your habits were to internalize? Did you become external with him, or how was that process changing over the
I
walk?
didn't have a lot of, I don't, I didn't speak. I prayed a lot, but I didn't know who I was praying to, really. I said God, obviously I called him God. So our parents actually divorced when I was probably about 7. My father actually just left the house. He didn't even really. I was walking home from school and I seen him kind of going into the car and I thought he was going to work and he's like, "Yeah, I'm just going away for a little bit." And he literally just left for 2 years without a word. So I prayed a lot. I prayed that they would get back together. So, and they never did, obviously. So I think I started to steer away from like the whole Bible, like there's a God, blah, blah, blah. And then from my teenage years, there was a lot of rebellion during my teenage years, even my 20s. I got into drinking. I think all of us kind of who internalize things, we pick up bad habits,
Right.
right? So as a teenager, I wanted to be more open. I wanted to be more social, so I attached myself to people who were more social, more, had lots of friends. So I got into things that I shouldn't have got into as well. And I pretty much stopped believing in anything, really. I kind of just got into, when I was young, because I read all the horror books, I got into like certain conspiracies as well. So I was introduced to a lot of conspiracies when we were young too. And everything that I learned, I also internalized because I didn't know how many people had the same interests as me, I guess, right? So I just did everything on my own. When he says, don't be double-minded, when you're young, you really are double-minded because you have your own personal, like, personality, and then the personality you kind of express to the public. Which is kind of like a little facade because you don't truly reveal who you are unless you completely trust them, right? So yeah, a lot of people, when I started to wake up, which I believe is more 2019-ish, when I kind of fully woke up, people didn't really know that I was into these things. For example, when 2020 happened, I started to reveal more things to my sister and my best friend about how corrupt the government is. And they really battled me. Like we had pretty heated arguments about it. And I told them, I looked into this for a while. Like I know what I'm talking about, but they have like this mask over them where they, they're a lot of people, I believe, are programmed, through media, through entertainment and stuff. So they, hey, shh. Stop. Sorry, Larry.
Good.
Yeah, so, and I think 2020, I started to drift away from certain people that I used to be very close with because I was starting to reveal who I was and what I actually believed.
Okay.
And I think that was the Most High kind of separating us from certain, certain people.
Did
I don't know if that answered your
what
question.
was one of the conspiracy theories that you were heavily in going down the rabbit hole with?
I actually, when I was young, I was really curious about flat Earth. Just because we did a lot of fishing trips, and I would sit and just watch, while we were on the watch the landscaping, and I would say, like, how is this a spherical, when you're young, I feel like you're more connected to the Most High because you're not programmed yet, right? So your mind's a lot more open and you start to you wonder about things. And as a kid, I was very just like Alexander, I was very into nature stuff. So we did a lot of bicycling and would walk around and look at flowers and insects. We were very interested in nature. And the flat Earth, I would say, would be the first one that I really questioned because I was obsessed with space too. Learning in school, I was like, ooh, space is so cool. You know what I mean? And that's when I started to question things that didn't make sense. Like, that was norm. That was the norm, and it didn't really make sense if you really thought about it deeply. You know what I mean?
So during your digging, did you ever fall into more of the Most High? Did you fall back into scripture? So how, using your conspiracy
Well, I
knowledge,
did fall back into him, but I thought he was evil. You know what I mean? And the thing, and I told you about my partner, because I've been trying to get him to read the scriptures as well. And I told him straight up, you could read the scriptures and think the Most High is like evil. Because of how he tells his people to go to a nation and just eliminate everything in that nation, including the beasts, the plantation, everything. Just burn it down. And I think that when you only read it on a surface level, you will think that's evil. But then if you look more deeply, which I think he tells you, search for me 10 times more once you find me, I think it's to understand why he does these things. And it's because even if you compare it from then and now, like, look how they're, contaminating the food, the water, the skies. So he has to basically burn everything and start over, right? Because everything's been compromised. His creation, which he made, was good. They've turned it into something evil. So food, which is supposed to nourish our body, is now making us sick. You know what I mean? It's doing the opposite of what he intended it to be.
So
And I think
how
that comes with disobedience, obviously, right?
So how was learning how to be obedient after coming from a former life of being
It
disobedient?
was hard. It was very hard because, like I said, when I was young, I read the Bible, I believed in him, and then when I was a teenager, I just shunned everything that had to do with God, religion, anything like that. I didn't call myself an atheist. I would say I was more, I called myself agnostic. You believe in a higher power, but you just don't know which one is the true. Hey, you guys, stop. But sorry,
No, you say
I
you're
forgot what I was
agnostic.
saying.
No, you say you were
Yeah, I
agnostic.
was agnostic, and so I think 2020 is when I started to come back to him. So I actually, because I didn't have a spiritual guidance, I think I sort of looked to man to guide me. And I started attaching myself to Michael Jackson, actually. Because I looked at him like a Jesus figure in a very corrupt musical, like the music industry. I
Right.
looked at him as like a pure soul that's in this disgustingly corrupt like environment. And then I think the Most High started to reveal to me that even Michael Jackson, he's compromised. You know, I already knew about MK Ultra, and I was like, okay, maybe he's MK Ultra. You know, maybe he did those things and he didn't realize it because he was another personality that, you know, because when you go through trauma, I do believe you kind of have a split personality.
Right.
Yeah. And
Do you feel like
that's
that
when
you
I.
had that? You had that? You felt like there was a split personality that happened with you? I know you talked about there's a
Yeah.
thing where you internalize and it's a face that you show everybody else. I feel like most
Yeah.
people go
Yeah,
through
for
that.
me, I didn't enjoy. I actually, we went out a lot. So, you know, I believe people in the lower class, they kind of target rap music, R&B music to the lower class, I feel, because they want to promote sex and drugs, right? So we were into our I was into R&B music where they openly talk about, you know, being sexual. And I was into rap, which is about kind of going against the grain, you know, breaking laws because you want to, you know, succeed in a certain way. So that's when we started drinking, going out, partying a lot. And that's when that other personality came out, you know, the party girl, the socialite. But every time I would go home, I'd be like, this is like, you know, I didn't feel any better. I had fun at the time, and I would go home and feel like, oh, that was all right, you know.
And you felt that
Like,
you had to
I
go out
feel like
more?
crap today.
It's like you were filling yourself up by trying to go out more and more and more.
Yeah. Socializing, drinking helped me like be more social. And then I started to discover weed. Can you grab them? Thank you. And that was a different kind of that was like even a more for me, weed helps me actually get into conspiracies even more. And one of the conspiracies that really got me was the 9/11. I think everybody got into 9/11, right? How things didn't make sense, especially the passport.
Yeah, somebody else mentioned
Intact.
that too. The last guy mentioned it too.
Intact.
It's like, look, passport, not singed, not burnt, no nothing. It just happened to
Yeah, and
just.
I actually watched a couple of videos where they said there wasn't even a plane. It was they were testing out the Blue Beam project, you know, Project Blue Beam with the whole hologram thing. They were saying like the initial witnesses didn't even see a plane. They just heard like a boom. And then how the buildings fell, how it was like it looked like a controlled demolition. Yeah, so for me, I knew the thing is I kind of already always knew the world was corrupt because of where we came from. You know, like our country, we literally came from war. I was born in a refugee camp, came to a country where they were teaching us things that for me didn't really connect and make sense. So I think the Most High kind of puts that spirit in you where you kind of do want to question everything, right?
And w as far as when we talked about obedience, did you feel like you had to let go of drinking a lot and going out? Like, how was that
So
process?
when I started in 2020, that's when I kind of started. I'm like, I think 2020 is when he let everybody kind of, like I said in my email, I think 2020 was when the Most High pretty much poured his spirit out to everyone, just because the whole world was shut down. So everyone was paying attention. You know what I mean? And that's when I was watching things on, you know, on social media, people saying like mental illness is like skyrocketed and blah, blah, blah. And for me, I was at home, I was chilling. I was like, yeah, I don't have to work. This is great. So I was fine. And I think the Most High does sort of give you that spirit where you are okay being a little bit isolated, a little bit alone. And for me, it was absolutely okay because I've always been like that. So this was an opportunity for me to, I think he gave that opportunity for the ones that are called out to search things even more. And I really got into all everything.
I feel like that too, like especially for introverts. It was like a
Yeah.
great time for introverts because
I was like,
everything's shut down, no one's going anywhere, no one's coming to your house.
exactly.
We were like, yes, finally some peace. And we really got into, I think that was like the silver lining as far as that whole COVID shutdown thing. People were freaking out who were extroverts. They were freaking out that they couldn't talk to people, couldn't go to people's houses, couldn't go to work. And we were like, okay, this is like an everyday
I
for
was
us.
like,
Like,
great. I don't
and
have
I
to do
think,
anything. Sure.
right. So how now that you are being awakened up, where you think you are at in the as far as your walk? Are you feel like you're an adult in the spirit, a teenager in the spirit, or still a babe in the spirit?
I think in the spirit, I'm a teenager,
Okay.
but my flesh is like an infant. I think my flesh is very, very weak because of how dependent I was on, like, say, drinking and the weed. So drinking, I quit it completely for like 5 years now. So since 2020, I haven't drank.
Nice.
But the weed, I went through processes. Because I feel like for me, I felt like weed also helps me kind of open my mind to see things a little bit differently, changing my perspective a little bit. So I went through a phase where, I would smoke. I did the same thing. I smoked to kind of relax, and I also did it to help me sleep because I have trouble sleeping. But sometimes I feel like that's just an excuse for me to continue it. But I also feel, the Most High gives you these things to also help you. And so there was an incident where, because I would do it when my sister and my best friend were actually, because my sister comes down once a month to work, in Windsor. She has some clients in Windsor that she works with, and so every time they came down and visited, I would smoke a lot. And I feel like I was just kind of, so I don't have to participate in their conversations. That's what I felt like I was doing. And this one time, I took so much that I actually blacked out or greened out, what you call weed. I greened out, I hit my head on the mirror, and I got a black eye. And at work, I just told people that, I tripped over my dog and I fell on the whatever. But it was just me over consuming. And at that time, I was like, okay, this is the Most High telling me, like, you need to chill with this. So I quit it actually for 3 months. So I quit weed for 3 months. And then I was like, you know what? The Most High makes everything good. So as long as I do in moderation, it's fine. But I feel like I still use it to kind of escape a little bit. And that's the problem I have is the weed. I think I just depend on it too much. I haven't quit that completely, so that's still something I'm struggling with.
And you still say like it's due to escapism, so you feel like unresolved trauma, unresolved issues, or it's just you just want to escape from everyday life that you feel that is hard for you.
I would say more escaping just things in my head, because the thing is, the walk, it's a personal walk, but you also have to, your head is also on your friends and your family, because the Most High does want you to obviously spread the truth, right? And when you're trying to give the truth to people that you love and care about and they reject it, it's hard on you. It takes a toll on you eventually. You know what I mean? Because I at work, I'm a dental hygienist. So at work, I'm in people's mouths all the time. So it's great for me because then I don't really have to talk, right? But there are times where, some of my clients come in and we talk about some really deep stuff. And I would, if I have the opportunity, I would tell them, hey, you should start reading the scriptures if you want to challenge your mind. Read the scriptures, try to understand it, And yeah, so I would take opportunities to, kind of spread the seed a little bit. But for me, it's more I worry about my family mostly. And that's I think that's what weed is trying to like help me cope with
And
that.
what are they struggling with? Just your new direction in faith? Because I know you talked about your mom being a Buddhist. Has it been really, really hard on her for to understand your
Yeah,
walk?
I think she doesn't she's good with like the fact that she kind of just lets me do my own thing. But when I started reading, she's like she actually was like, you should be careful, those church people, they're not that great. And I'm like, okay, mom, it's okay. Like, I'll figure it out. But I mean, the thing is, we've got a lot of generational trauma. Like my mom and my dad, I know they've gone through trauma. Like, I mean, I didn't want to say it in like a public forum, but my dad, he's notoriously known as a womanizer. He probably has kids. I probably have half brothers and sisters all around that I don't know about. My mom, she's gone through four husbands. Her first husband, which is my older sister, she's my half sister. She actually witnessed her father getting beat to death by the Khmer Rouge. So she has a lot of trauma. Me and my older sister, we don't really talk. We don't have a lot of communication with each other, but here and there we'll come visit. Like the last time she's visited was a few months ago, but that was between like probably like 6, 7 years that we talked. So there's, yeah. I mean, I there, yeah. The
So
family trauma
how do
thing
you heal
is.
for th how you heal from this?
So I think for me, I believe reading the scriptures. So before reading the actual script, because when I was young, I read the Bible, the kids' version. So it's very, it's very watered down, right? So when I started reading the scriptures, in my head, I was like, yeah, I'm a good person, And then he reveals to you, no, you're not. No one's good. Everyone's just a dirty rag, But then you realize, yeah, I am. Like I did things that were not good. And then it says, he brings everything to remembrance. So I really suppressed a lot of the trauma, actually. I didn't even realize I went through some of these things until he revealed them to me when I started reading the scriptures. And I think that's he's basically like my therapist. I go to him, I talk to him about my trauma, I say, what do I do? And for me right now, my biggest thing is when I was young, I never raised my voice, never spoke back to my mother at all. But now that I'm older and I see things where, because my mom tends to say things repeatedly. So now I'm able to like say things to her. And there are many times where we've had like heated arguments, but I tell her, you talk too much, mom. And you talk about the same thing. Like, if I did this to you, you would be just as annoyed as me. So you have to understand where I'm coming from, And then she's like, I raised you since you were young. And I'm like, mom, I know that. But I'm older now. I'm not a child anymore. I'm 40 years old. Like, I know about life. You know what I mean? And I'm like, if you believe you're a smart woman and you raised a smart child, why do you think you need to lecture me like I'm a dumb kid? You know what I mean? But yeah, I think the biggest hurdle is my mother. Yeah, because
That's
we
the
lived with her. She
exactly.
raised, she's the one that raised us, right? So there's a lot of conflict there. And I did actually, when I was 17, I did actually, I would say, I tell people I moved out of the house, but literally I ran away from home. I met a guy. I was 17 at the time, and he was 4 years older than me. And Yeah, so I literally attached myself to him, and then I moved in with him and lived with his family for like 11 years.
Wow.
So I think the Most High literally took me out of my home, which was like very chaotic, very volatile. And he put me in a home that was also very chaotic and volatile. But the difference was because I was in their home, it calmed their home down actually. Because I was a stranger, like I was a new person, and their parents didn't want to fight in front of this person who's not their child, you know what I mean? So it's funny because, anytime they made noises, their father would be like, "Who did that?" And he'd be like, "Callie Ann did that." And he'd be like, "Okay," and he wouldn't even, it wouldn't turn into a big fight or anything, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think he'd made that move for me to sort of keep me sane, because my sister has trauma, very a lot of trauma that she hasn't re she goes to therapy, and they try to like bring up some trauma, but I think she suppressed it so deep that she thinks like nothing's wrong with her. Because she told me her therapist was like, "Do you have daddy issues?" She's like, "I don't have daddy issues." I'm like, "Bro, you have daddy issues. Like our father literally has like children we don't even know about. Like, you know what I mean?" But for me, I'm like I said, we're introverts are very internal. So I do try. I've read psychology books. I've read all the books therapists would read, like a psychiatrist would read, because I want to deal with my own trauma. I don't want a stranger. You know what I mean? I didn't want a stranger to hear all these things. I would rather deal with it myself, and that's also something the Most High gave me skills to do.
So how was it with your father now? Do you still have a relationship with him or?
So when we were young, he did come back into our life. After the 2 years, like I said, he had a new wife, he had a child. And we started see he lived in Toronto at the time, and we would visit him every summer till I was 17. So I started seeing him again when I was 12 till 17. And he's like a part-time dad, he's more like a weekend dad or a summer dad. He would just send us cards on our birthdays, Christmas, but other than that, we didn't really have a lot of communication. Like me and my parents, we don't have an open communication.
Is that the normal mindset of men from your country to have multiple women or just to leave easily like
Yeah,
that?
it's very common in our culture for men to be in unfaithful to their wives, or have like a side girl, or have like a secret child. Like it's pretty common.
How does it affect you in your relationships now, or does it ever affect you?
It did affect me because growing up, you know what? Like I said, when I tell my mom she talks too much, I pray to the Most High for me to, keep my lips sealed. Like sometimes I don't need to say certain things. But yeah, growing up, I didn't believe in marriage. I said, what's the point of getting married if we possibly could get divorced? And even growing up, I was like, I don't even care if I have children, because like I can't raise children in this environment. You know what I mean? So yeah, that definitely affected me a lot. But now that I've come to the truth and understanding, I regret saying those things a lot, because I do have a condition called endometriosis, which is a infertility condition where you can't have children. And I recently went to like a doctor visit, and they found something in there. I did have surgery to get a tumor removed from it, and it was growing again. And the doctor was like, "Yeah, if you're not planning to have children, you should have a hysterectomy to get rid of the pain that I have. Like I have really painful periods." And I was like, "No, I'll pass." So I went home and I said to the Most High, I was like, "I'm not going to do this, but I have a change of heart. I do want to raise children, especially in the truth, and teaching them to know Him." And I said, just because my body's broken right now doesn't mean he can't heal it. And if I'm faithful, which is a that's the struggle, trying to walk faithfully, I think, he would gift me with that gift.
Definitely.
And that's the thing, I don't know. So this is why I contacted you, Larry, because me and my partner, we met in 2012. This is before, obviously, I, got to know the Most High. So the thing is he the right person? You know what I mean?
I
Because
think
he, the Most High can bring people into your life, but also take them away, right? So that's the thing. It's like, is he the right person? And if he's not, maybe that's why, my walk, I'm stumbling so much.
What a lot has to do with the grace that we give our partner, because we obviously come into the truth at different phases and different times. So it's most likely the grace that we give. It's the same grace that the Most High has given us, and especially you in your situation. He's heard what you said about him. He knows how you used to walk. He knows the things that you were into. He gave you the same exact grace that you should give your partner, because he could easily have taken you out of this world when either you were backsliding or went deeper into sin. He could easily done that, but he didn't. I think, like you said, he known us before we came into this world. So he knew that this was going to be your walk. So he's returning you with the same type of patience and grace that he has given you for you to give to someone else. Once you learn that and you walk faithfully with him on that and don't put anybody above him, then he will give you exactly what your heart desire. But that all depends on how you can be obedient. And like you said, the struggle of walking faithfully, because it doesn't try necessarily our actions, but it tries our mind and our spirit first, because that's where the action comes from. If we are not based in our mind and our thoughts, our actions will make us veer off to the left or to the right. He will try our mind. And so, whatever you think, since we are internal people, he will try our minds first to see where we are at. And then he'll put us in situations where we can prove our faith justly and not be forsaken or cast out because of our actions later on. So, I think testing his spirit and trying to introduce him into the truth is going to be a work. Just like with your mother, it's going to be a work and a process. But I think as long as you stay faithful to him and go to him first before going to your partner, that is when he'll build you up, at the same time build him up. The Most High can change hearts and minds. This is what we read in scriptures. When he did it to Pharaoh, he did it to Ahab. Like, it's possible, for him to do it. It's not like it's not possible.
I do. I pray. I always pray, the Most High Yahuwah, please soften Gary's heart all
Right.
the time. And my mother too.
It's and it's
Because those are
usually
the
by
two I
your
know that could potentially go get there. But with my sister, she kind of, I already kind of knew not to put any time and work in it because I already knew, even with my best friend. And that's the thing, like, I do give a lot of patience to my partner, but at the same time, I'm very blunt with him. I'm like, the Most High sends people to me. If you're not gonna be beneficial, he could take you away. You know what I mean? And the thing is, we are kind of preparing a little bit for, everything to kind of just collapse. So we've been slowly preparing. He's stocked up on certain protection. And I said, the Most High is my protection. You're not my protection. You and your multiple, weaponry. You know what I mean? I'm like, you can have 20 guns in the house. And they send a missile here. You think you can use those guns? Like, no, the Most High is the one that's covering the home. I told him, you're lucky. You're lucky because the Most High has called me and he's trying to call you through me. And I want this to really work. I want you to start watering that seed that I've planted in you by reading the scriptures. And he actually did start reading. I gave him the book of Yasher to start reading because that was one of my favorite books when I started reading the Apocrypha, because it kind of really fills in some of the blanks that are in Genesis and Exodus that you kind of like, huh?
Right.
Like, for example, when Cain and Abel did their offering, I was like, why didn't he accept Cain's offering? You know, he's
Right.
still
It never
offering.
said. It never said
I
why he
never
accepted.
said that he gave him like the rotten, not maybe not rotten, but it wasn't his best crops. You know what I
Right.
mean? So for me, it filled in a lot of things because when you read things, you want things to make sense, right? And I believe I sent you an email before about the fire with Haran and
Right.
the fire and how there were two different accounts. And that's
Right.
what I wanted to confirm it because, you know, someone who's not in the faith could read it and be like, these two accounts really contradict each other. They're not the same. I'm like, that's why I was like, maybe one is more a flesh account and one is more like a spiritual account,
Right.
you know? So, because for us with faith, we can read into things without focusing on the literal part,
Right.
you know what I mean? So, and that's I told him, like, if you start reading, you know, I'm in communication with the Most High, you know, I can help you understand certain verses if it don't make sense, you know what I mean? Because the thing is, when we got together, our thing was we went to the movies a lot. We really enjoyed going to the movies. And now we haven't been to the movies since 2020. We quit supporting that. But we still watch it on, you know, certain streaming devices. But we watch it with different eyes. We're more trying to see the symbolism, what they're trying to program us with, you know, kind of deciphering it as opposed to just watching as pure entertainment.
Right.
So I said, you know, I share that hobby with you. Why can't you share the hobby of reading the scriptures with me? Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I almost try to guilt him into doing it, which is probably the wrong approach,
Right.
but
It is. I
you know
would
what I
say
mean?
lead by example and lead by love and grace. Like when the feast days come up, go all out for feast days. And he'd be more curious about why you do this. Like when you start doing things out of your own love and admiration for the Most High, he will start taking notice. When you, especially with men, if you come at him and say, well, you don't know this, it is in our ruach, it's in our spirit to not be emasculated by anybody. So we see it as a threat, like, oh, you're trying to make yourself seem better than me by knowing something that I don't know. Most likely you gotta not guilt trip us, but you gotta give us breadcrumbs into it so we can see, like, oh, this is the reason why you do it. Okay, this is the reason why you're doing
But
it this way.
I do like, I told him, like, when you meet the Most High, you're gonna have like an ego death. He's gonna humble you so hard, your pride is just gonna fall apart. You know what I
Right.
mean? And I told him, is that why? Is you have too much pride? You know, because his family still celebrates all the holidays, like the
Okay.
Christmases and the Easters and such. I'm like, you know, I have a lot of patience with that because I know, you know, you're still close with your mother and your brother. So his father passed away when he was 18. So he's very close with his brother and his mother. And for me, I was like, you know, I know you want that relationship. And his brother lives in California. So when they go visit him, it's usually on like a holiday, like a birthday or an Easter or Christmas. I was like, is that why? Because you don't want to give that up yet. You know what I mean? But he has given up a lot of things for me as well.
Okay.
He doesn't really celebrate Christmas anymore, even though his mom is very disappointed because that was her favorite holiday. But yeah, and he doesn't do his birthdays anymore. So, and he's minimized on the drink. He only drinks when, you know, he has work stuff, kind of one beer here and there. But he's also given up a lot of things as well. And I think it's also because I kind of pressure him a little bit. But at the same time, he is willing to, you know, he's slowly getting there. But obviously, with us, we want things to be like, okay, time is running out. You need to speed up this process. You know what I mean? So that's why I think I will continue working on him as well because I always bring the parable of the talents with him. I'm like, the Most High gave me one talent, and that's you. Or he gave me talents to work on one, you know, he gave me the parable where he gives the guy the one talent and he didn't even double it. He just buried it, right? I was like, I don't want to bury my talent. I'm trying to work on, I'm just doubling it, just the one to make it two. And that's me and you against everybody. And yeah, so That's what I wanted to kind of confirm to see if I should continue,
Yes.
you
Like,
know.
exalt him through the grace and the things that he is doing right. Make sure you still give that reassurance that we all need, not just men or just not women. We both need the reassurance that we are all on the right path. And sometimes those who are coming out of the fleshly world into the ruach, they need that coaching to get them more into the spirit by exalting them through the flesh a little bit, just to make them feel good about they're on the right track. Because like I said, this walk is very humbling. And like you said, it is the ego death that we go through. And if we don't have the support, spiritually for that ego death, we could be very stagnant in our growth, and we can wall ourselves off and like, all right, I don't want to go too much. This is not comfortable for me. But that's why you need a partner like yourself to, keep them encouraged and keep pulling them to that spiritual side. Well,
So yeah, because I watched, obviously, I actually found you through Ryan Wilson as well, which is funny because my partner's brother's name is Ryan Wilson. I was like, Ryan Wilson and Larry Johnson? I'm gonna tap on this video. And this was like 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. And because for me, names really, you know, when a name like catches me, to me, it's like a sign. So I clicked on it, and before I clicked on that, I actually was watching Truth Unedited as well with Brother Ron. So I was already in there, and then that's when I found you. And whenever there's a new video, I would watch it. Like my partner, he's a gamer, so he's always gaming on his laptop. I'm actually on his laptop right now, but whenever there's a new video, I would put it on and I would kind of just make him listen to it like while he's gaming. So it's kind of getting in there, you know what I mean? The messages. Like, you know, I try to do it in different ways, different approaches, so that, because I told him, you know, the Most High, because there's a story, I forget what book it is, but he says that when you're in court, don't worry about the words. You don't have to think about the words to say because I will give you the words to say, right? Because look at the Messiah. He literally shuts everyone out. Like every time the church leaders would try to trump him with his words, he would trump them. I call him the comeback king because he literally is the comeback king, right? Like literally, like resurrected and with words, right? So I told him, if you read the word and you get in trouble, he will give you the words because it's in your heart. It says in I forget what book it is now, where he will make a renewed covenant. I think it's in Jeremiah. I'm actually on Jeremiah, where he says that he's going to make a renewed covenant where his Torah will be written in your heart, which means if you read the word, it's there.
It's there,
You know what I mean? It's internally there. And he's gonna bring it out. So I said, I told him, if you think you're smart, read the scriptures and tell me if you're a smart guy. You know? Because he humbles you real hard. And I love that about him. For me, a good father is someone who disciplines their children. And I lack that. We didn't have that kind of, I mean, I had the physical discipline, but they didn't give me like the mental discipline, I guess, you know, because we got in trouble and we got smacked and with a belt and with a shoe or whatever they had in their hand, but the mental was lacking. That's
Good.
where we lacked.
This has definitely been a blessed episode. We got you a little
Thank you,
opened up
Brother
a little
Mary.
bit in the
I
later,
am so
like
glad
the
I got to
internal
talk
part
to
was fading away, and then the external part came on later on in the
you.
show. But this has definitely been a blessing. What is the last words of advice for someone who came through trauma, came through hard times, vices, and obviously generational trauma as well? How does someone survive in the word like you have so far?
I think that for me was just being true to who you are internally. Because, you know, the Most High searches the heart. He knew my heart was deep spiritually, but he knew my flesh was weak. And he let me go through all that stuff so that I would have a good testimony, I guess I could say. You know what I mean? So I think that a lot of people kind of dwell in their trauma, and they become professional victims. The Most High doesn't want you to be a victim. He wants you to go, learn your trauma, understand why he gave you those traumas, and then you move forward and you give your testimony to someone who can benefit from it, I guess. Because we all can, like I said, every episode, even not just the interviews, but your other episodes where you talk about, things that are happening, like current events, I can relate to pretty much every episode. So I think that just being true to who you actually are and not pretending is the best way. And honesty is the best, because I've been a person who was agreeable a lot. I just agreed so I don't cause strife and conflict, instead of just being honest in the first place. Because like I said, they didn't know I was into conspiracies like some of my friends. They actually thought my partner was the one who brainwashed me into all these conspiracies. And that's where we connected, because my partner also does know about all these conspiracies, and that's what really brought us together. And so I think that just being honest with yourself and with everyone around you. The Most High says his truth, you can't deny his truth. Just being truthful and honest always.
Always. Thank you so much, sister, for coming on. Thank you so much. I know it was last minute, but I'm glad we got this episode done fairly quickly and on time too. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I'll see you
All
in
praises
emails and more
to the Most
questions.
High. Yes, of course. Of course. I'm going to have a lot of questions.
I got you. See you.
All right.